6 p.m., Wednesday, October the 11th, and the Citizens Police Review Board will come to order. We'll start off, just like always, with some introductions. I'll go first. My name is Reese Ellis. I'm the current chair of the board, and then we'll go to our liaison, and we'll snake
Sergeant on. Julie Ray, Columbia Police Liaison.
Stephanie Coleman, board member.
Jamie Thornsberry, board member.
Brandon Barnes, board member.
Doug Hunt, board member.
Cheryl Miller, Human Rights Commission Liaison and current vice chair.
Stephen Jeffrey, board member.
Rhonda Carlson, board member.
Xavier Scruggs, board member.
Rose Wibbenmeyer, staff liaison from the law department.
Thank you. Next, I would move for the approval of the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Those in favor of improving the agenda signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. So moving right along then, the meeting minutes, sorry, I'm a little under the weather, everybody, so patience for me. The meeting minutes should have been distributed to everyone by email a couple of weeks ago. I've got a chance to look at them. I actually do have one note about the work session minutes. In one of the spaces where my name is, just one of the early spaces, there's an S instead of a C. I guess that's nitpicking. Staff works very hard, but that's my only note. I don't know if anyone else has any notes about the minutes, but
nope.
If not, I would move to approve both the September 13th, or excuse me, yes, the
that's
September.
Correct.
Yeah, the September 13th meeting minutes and the September 14th work session minutes, if there is a second.
I second. Stephanie?
Those in favor would signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Continuing on the old business, we still have listed the review of police policies 300, 306, 440, and 447. You know, as we continue on, we'll get to this, of course, in the new business when we talk about our works. Oh, you go ahead.
Did you approve the open and closed meeting minutes on the 13th and then the work session minutes on the 14th?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
It was not all inclusive.
Thank you. And so we'll get into those policies, I think, a little more in the new business when we talk about potential, you know, future work sessions, because, you know, I have some positive things to say about how I think that went, but I'm not going to jump the gun and move on to new business. So if anyone else has anything to say about the reviews of those policies, now would be the time. Okay. Well, we will move on to the hiring process for the new police chief and the board's recommendation. I meant to distribute this a little earlier. Jamie had so nicely kind of worked up a list of some traits that we, you know, thought about looking at in terms of, you know, what we would like to see in a police chief. And she sent that out to everyone some time ago, and I sent her an edit about a week ago. That may not be an even number.
We need one more. Maybe.
Need one more.
And we, or we can share.
This is why you leave these things to city staff. Okay.
We're good.
No. So you don't need one more.
Well, we
no,
do,
we'll
but
share.
We'll share.
But
we're okay to okay. share if you don't have an extra.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, my mistake.
Problem at all.
So I'll start off with, you know, what Jamie and, you know, others had come up with in terms of recommendations, in terms of, this is the language that we had come up with, but, you know, it can be, you know, amended, of course, but I personally, I feel pretty comfortable with this, but I'd just like to, you know, read it out. And then we can have some discussion on it if it's missing anything, or, you know, if we need to table it to have, you know, some more time. But, you know, honestly, we're getting closer to the important parts of the process, so today may be as good a day as any. But the first point is integrity and ethics. Our next police chief must be a person of unwavering integrity and ethical standards. They should lead by example and demonstrate the highest level of honesty, transparency, and accountability in all aspects of their work. This attribute is critical in building and maintaining public trust, which is fundamental to effective law enforcement. Number two, strong leadership and communication skills. The chosen candidate should possess exceptional leadership qualities and the ability to inspire and motivate the police force. They should communicate clearly and effectively, both within the department and with the public. A strong leader can effectively manage crises, make tough decisions, and create a positive and inclusive work environment. Number three, community engagement and relationship building. A successful police chief must be adept at community engagement and relationship building. They should actively seek to understand the needs and concerns of the community and develop strategies to address them collaboratively. Building positive relationships with various stakeholders, including community leaders, local organizations, the Citizens Police Review Board, and other agencies, is crucial in promoting public safety and trust. Number four, cultural competence and diversity awareness. Given the diverse nature of our community, our next police chief must demonstrate cultural competence and an understanding of the unique challenges faced by different demographics. They should strive to create a police force that reflects the community's diversity and treats all individuals with respect regardless of their background. Number five, adaptability and innovation. In an ever-changing world, law enforcement must adapt to new challenges and adopt innovative approaches. The ideal police chief should be open to new ideas, receptive to feedback, and willing to embrace technological advancements that can enhance policing strategies while respecting individuals' rights and privacy. And then finally, commitment to continuous improvement. A successful police chief must be committed to continuous improvement of the department. They should be open to diverse perspectives and new ideas and approaches to policing. They should also be willing to implement changes when necessary, in addition to regularly evaluating whether the department's performance is meeting the needs of the community writ large. And so that's a mouthful. If you'll let me drink some water for a moment. If there's any discussion in the meantime.
We're giving these to council, this letter.
That was my impression, but I thought that there were others that we thought about looping in to receiving like this list of recommendations, if I recall correctly, at the last meeting.
The city manager is the person who's in charge of hiring the position. So you probably would also want to send it to the city manager.
So, city manager. Other discussion.
I think it's.
I mean, you know, if there's no notes on, you know, how this is phrased, you know, I'd entertain a motion to move this forward as something we'd like to deliver to the city manager.
So moved.
Second, Carlson.
So would we need a roll call vote on that, or? Okay. Those in favor would signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Abstaining? So to circle back on that, because I went with the second half of that line instead of the first half, the hiring process for the new police chief, the city recently announced that there are a number of finalists. Officer Nathaniel Clark, who's the former Forest Park, Georgia Public Safety Director, and out of Kansas City, Major Dan Haley, who is currently a major in the Human Resources Division. In Columbia, the Assistant Police Chief Jill Schulte, hope I'm saying that correctly. Flutie, thank you. And out of Greenlee or Greeley, the press release has
should,
both.
Should be Greeley, I believe.
Should yeah. be Greeley. Okay, thank you. Out of Greeley, Colorado, the Deputy Police Chief, Michael Zeller. And so they are going to be available for a community forum on October the 18th. That's going to be here at the Council Chambers and City Hall. And that's going to start at 6 p.m. So, you know, I'd invite the public to come out to that and, you know, make themselves available to these candidates for their questions because, you know, it's a very important thing, picking a police chief, and there's not really any such thing as too much community input. So, you know, that's going to be October the 18th, which is a Wednesday?
It is.
A Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So Wednesday at 6 p.m., October the 18th.
All right. And we should note, I believe, and I'll look, I guess, Rose's way as I say this, there's the meet and greet afterwards, so the public is invited to forum and the meet and greet. Is that right? Do you know?
I would have to look at the press release.
Okay.
Yeah, until 9.
Until 9.
Until
right.
9, yeah.
So it's an evening of spending time with the police chief candidates. And given that there are four, that's a reasonable amount of time to be getting to know who we're dealing with.
Absolutely. So that is something definitely to put on your calendars. It will be on mine. So moving on, the NACOL conference. Rose, you have some information.
We should note that the next day are the interviews with the yes. committee that's going to be making recommendations
Thank
to
you.
The city manager, and that we have two seats from people on the board sitting to do those interviews. And so the board is well represented. And that's, to me, very encouraging about getting community input. So
who's doing that? Who are
I don't team? Know how I could have neglected to mention that. Doug and I were asked to be part of this community selection panel. So on October 19th, we'll be doing that from about 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. And it, I think I'm pretty encouraged.
And then you guys are advising the city manager, is that how it works?
There should be a debrief afterwards, so.
Then should, going backwards, I guess, should they get a copy of our letter, everyone on that panel? Is that allowed?
I don't know who's on the panel,
okay.
but if you want that, I guess you can.
I didn't know.
Well, I'll bring it.
Okay.
But
I will bring it.
You can make that request, and then we can give it to the city manager's office, and they could provide it.
Right. And I believe it should be easy to do that. The panel is not that large, and I think we could probably get things to the
yeah.
people.
I'm sure they know who's on the panel.
Right, exactly.
Okay, yeah, I don't know how I could have neglected to mention that. Very important. Doug and I will be on that community panel on October the 19th. But moving on to the NACOL conference. Rose, you had some information about that.
Just that Samantha should be in the process of registering Stephen and Reese for that. And then Cheryl, you were... have you decided if you're going to?
No, tonight's my last night.
Okay, so
that's it.
Plenty have to report.
We'll move right along then to audits. Rhonda, you have our update for our discourteous conduct group.
Yes, and we had four reviews, and then we have one that we would, of those that we would like to review.
And
under consideration.
Under consideration, yeah. And are there any other updates on audits?
Yes. The search and seizure, our committee, Brandon and Stephanie and I, met around about, September the 24th, I think it was. We've requested five files from Julie, I believe. So we have fully reviewed one. And then there was another file that I had to recuse myself on. So I know that Brandon and Stephanie are in the process of reviewing those. And then Well, we had a tentative meeting scheduled, but since I'm not coming back, then Brandon and Stephanie get together and decide when their next meeting is going to be on that process. But we will have one, we have some feedback that we want to discuss later on too, with the one that we did perform.
Okay. And of course, our other group was really, really hitting the books. finished a while back. So I think that moves us on to
making us all look bad.
Moves us on to new business. We have a proposed amendment to the bylaws, Article 1, Section 3, and this deals with elections. If you'll remember at the just the last meeting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, what a month. Okay. At the last meeting, you know, I said that, you know, I wasn't going to be a candidate for chair, and so there was some kind of conversation about, well, you know, when does it make sense to have an election, because we're going to have some turnover, and then we're going to have new members in November, and, you know, just refiguring, you know, what kind of language might make sense in terms of, you know, our code, just to make things easier going forward. And so we've got a few options before us here, and I'm trying to think about what's the best way to go about this.
Basically, whichever option you all like, there should be a motion to approve option, mm-hmm. whatever, to change Article 1, Section 3A.
Does anyone have any strong feelings one way or the other about any of the options? Because, you know, I've got an opinion, but I can save that to hear others, obviously.
Can you review those options?
So the change in option one, so it'll read, the board shall elect a chair and a vice chair every year for 1 year term during the board's November meeting and strikes through October. And then the language following is the same. In option two, we have the board shall elect a chair and vice chair every year for 1 year term, and then it strikes through the election date period. So the 1 year would just begin, you know, whenever they are elected. And then the final option deals with the resignations of chair and vice chair, and just strikes out, you know, that all the language about the board shall elect a chair and vice chair every year for a 1 year term, because if we selected one of these first two options, that third option would necessarily, we'd have to change. So
let me pull it up, but I believe the code already says the terms are for 1 year, so if there's, it's pretty much redundant unless you want to designate exactly when.
I see. Okay. So, all that being said, you know, are there strong feelings one way or the other on this?
I don't know how strong my feelings are, but I rather like option one with the November definite date. It's very concrete. It's very clear. We know what we're doing. If it's 1 year starting whenever, I think it's could be a source of confusion.
Right.
So my preference would be for option one.
I would.
Nice to keep it consistent.
I would echo what Doug was saying. Mm-hmm. Just in the being consistent. If you start, you know, a year starting, you know, like you said, confusion. So keeping it very simple, keeping it on November every November. Year, that makes the most
I
sense.
Agree.
Well, and it does tie to when most of the terms whatever year mm-hmm. they are, do come up. So it would be probably the most preferred. You want a motion to that effect?
I would entertain a motion unless there's any dissenting thoughts about, you know.
I'll move option one.
I'll second that, Carlson.
Now for this, will we need a roll call vote? No.
Moving right on through this.
I know. All right. Well, those in favor of adopting option one will signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Abstaining? Okay. So adopted. So That was
so
nice.
In that case, do we have to do anything with that third option, or we don't need to with the resignation stuff? All in the first one.
No, you don't have to do anything further.
Okay.
Well, we will move right along to the work session debrief. guess where to begin on this. For anyone who wasn't there, we did get through the first policy, and I think, you know, pretty well had a pretty vigorous discussion about the changes that we'd like to see in it. You know, we as the royal we, and then, you know, we as the board. I think there was some, I won't say consensus necessarily, but there definitely seemed to be some agreement about different, you know, language that could be cleared up and things that we could recommend going forward in terms of policy changes. But I was really encouraged by the level of discussion that we were able to have, and how, you know, prepared people came with, you know, different, you know, the PERF standards, for example, and, you know, just other pieces of context that I didn't necessarily have that were just very useful for me to hear. And I don't know, I came away feeling like I have a better idea of what I would eventually, you know, at least for myself, I'd like to recommend as policy changes. But, you know, or others, I know other people were there, and, you know, all of you really had, you know, great things to say. So if anyone else has anything they'd like to share about the session.
I could save this for comments at the end, but I'll throw it in because it came directly out of that session. There was an interesting discussion of the word "shall," which has changed.
You came out on top on that one.
Well, changes meaning historically over time, and in doing some subsequent research, I discovered that the Department of Justice recognizes that people are confused by the meaning of "shall" in legal and quasi-legal documents, and they have a plain language recommendation that must be used in its place. I think it would be sweet, and it seems like, Rose, from what you were saying, city legal may be looking at this for maybe the city in a broad sense, but certainly with regard to police policies and procedures, to disambiguate things by using the word "must," so people don't read "shall" to mean "kinda oughta," right? Shall apparently has always, in legal documents, has meant, in effect, must. So to avoid confusion, I think that, I thought that was a real step forward. Now, rewriting thing, you know, enormous amounts of things and whatnot, but that was a clear insight that I came out of that discussion, and I wanted to register that.
Other thoughts? Well, I think, you know, we're going to continue to look at, because, you know, a couple of us had some notes on the policy changes that we'd like to see, and I think those discussions are going to continue. And then, you know, eventually, because the police department is going through a process of updating their police policy, I think we're going to be able to produce something that's going to have some comments on a number of policies, and I hope it's going to be a product that we're satisfied with. But this was the first work session. I think that we need to figure out the scheduling of the future special meetings, and that's not me just taking the words from the agenda there, but we are moving on to that next piece. I'm not sure what date makes sense. I don't have a calendar in front of me. I know that in the middle of November, I'm going to be at the NACOL conference. What is our next meeting? Is that the 11th of November?
That's Veterans Day, so probably
not. No, probably not. That's a Friday then. So the 8th of November.
November 8th. Yeah. It's on the agenda.
Okay. It's on the agenda. It sure is. Thank you.
He's under the weather.
So
yes,
maybe
he is.
Some grace, please.
Maybe November 9th. How far in advance did we decide our previous date?
What I can do is I can ask Samantha to send a poll out based upon room availability.
The dreaded doodle poll.
Those things are confusing. To be approaching the holiday season, right?
Oh.
Which will make things, both Thanksgiving and then the December holidays, will make things a little bit harder, not impossible. Yeah. Sometimes freeze up rooms because people don't want to meet on those times. The other thing to be aware of, we do have a presenter at the December meeting. The police department's going to give a presentation on how they train officers on de-escalation. So that's scheduled for December 13th.
Yeah.
So if that helps you think about how you want to schedule before or after that.
Okay.
I believe it's supposed to be the presentation they give officers, but.
Oh.
Right. I don't want any of that City of Columbia Chambers presentation. I want to see what it's like for real, for real.
Well, okay. Well, I'll look forward to that doodle poll then, or however. But I think I liked what was able to be produced from that session because, you know, like I said, once again, you know, if you ask anybody who knows me, I'm a very limited person in my capability, so I can only learn what I can learn. And so it was very nice to be able to have people from a lot of different perspectives bring in what, you know, they had learned through, you know, community organization or, you know, through intensive research or, you know, experience as an officer or whatever, to the table to discuss those policies. So I'm looking forward to more of them in the future.
For that next meeting, what is the topic? Take on the policy that you all didn't get to that night.
Yeah, and that was 447, wasn't it?
Was body cams.
Okay. And if there's nothing else on that, I
would just point out for that person presenting, I don't know if it'll be the same, but I don't think they were prepared for sort of the shotgun approach of questions on that. So
I would agree with that for sure.
I don't know if that's us or maybe it's a different sort of meeting, meaning like the questions that we're asking, or I don't know what we're trying to accomplish out of that, given where he was coming from. It seemed more, as we discussed, seemed more he was here to provide guidance on those things, not necessarily be drilled with questions. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just saying.
No, yeah, I think that's fair.
What you're saying.
I think that's fair.
Well, maybe now that we've done one, they'll be better prepared to understand how it's going to go. Or
yeah, there's certainly some new context. Yeah. Oh. Noted.
It was also hard to hear him sometimes. Microphones in that room or not, but.
No, I don't think anybody had like a lavalier microphone.
That room apparently has some acoustic problems. And then if they have too many microphones or more than one microphone, there's interference or something. So.
Gotcha.
Well, all the same, we're going to move on to reports. Human Rights Commission.
Special items for next month's agenda that you all want included? I know we have election of officers.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the election of officers.
Do we want to begin talking about recommendations next in November?
Yeah.
I don't know if that's what we want to do.
It seems like a good idea. It doesn't have to be the comprehensive, but if we've got some things that we want to bring up, if we can get it on the agenda, it would be great to discuss it.
Thank you.
Now we'll move on to reports. Human Rights Commission.
Well, I don't have a whole lot to report back this month. As far as your next liaison, I know that they did table that. No one volunteered last week to come over. So it's been tabled to next month, and hopefully you guys, at least by December, have a new human rights person over here. So, okay.
I hear you.
Okay.
And then we'll move into positive connections, training, right along.
Couple things. I'll just kind of throw this into outreach. Doug, very nice editorial.
Thank you.
That was a very nice editorial. I had a couple other people mention it to me as well, so that was very nicely written.
Yeah, thank you for doing that.
I think it goes into outreach because that got out to the public and people saw it.
And that was published in the Missourian.
Right.
I just sent the link out in the meeting.
Thank you.
And then as far as positive connections, I can't believe I've been on here this long. I've had two of them. Today, I had to make a police report for, we've been having a theft issue. I don't know how you report it. It's something where somebody in real time was stealing without a credit card, just gave our phone number to a business, not in Columbia, and they pulled our account up and were stealing in real time, and we were reporting it to the company, and the company was working with us, and so they're demanding the money from us, though all this time. They said, well, you never filed a police report. This is from several months ago. So trying to be compliant, made the police report. And an officer, Matthew Kempker, called, and it's a very complex explaining how this is going on. I wasn't the one, I just happened to be present when this happened, but was very well documented. It was a very complex situation. It was very patient, asked a lot of questions, asked good questions, and was very good. And then I said, now I'm going to hand you off to the person that really did this. And she got off the phone. She said, I don't know who that was, but after having to report in the last 3 months several thefts to the sheriff's department and getting at the point of almost throwing the phone across the room, he said that was probably one of the most pleasant experiences I've had in a long time. So it was something I was very surprised. Now, I hate to say very surprised, but it was very pleasant and a good experience. And we're supplying him with the information and probably get some results because we have pictures of who the individual was in another city and another state.
Wow.
So who was the officer?
Matthew Kempfer.
Okay. Kudos to him, Matthew.
Mm-hmm. Other positive connections?
So I went down, I think it was a week ago Friday, and met with the new recruits coming through the academy. I think there were 6, 7, 8 or so. So just gave a little brief overview of the board about our role and what we do, and they were very eager and very excited to get out. So,
all right. Thank you for that.
I'm looking at the comma, in effect, between positive connections and training. I do want to report that I was able to attend what is the annual training of officers on October 3rd, an all-day training session. And so some of the things that we were talking about, including what does a de-escalation training look like, I was actually sitting in one with the officers. Remarkably informative in many respects. So complex to go into that I won't try to summarize in short form, but I think it's given me some thoughts about things that we might want to pursue with policy. And I felt that we should attend such sessions. I think it's important to understanding, and it's very much what Brandon was saying, it's one thing to see what the regulations say. It's another thing to see what the actual presentation and training is and how the officers are responding to it. So I hope that they will continue to allow members of the board to attend, and I hope members of the board will continue to attend. It's very informative.
Thank you. seeing no more positive connections, trainings, ride-alongs, we're going to move into general comments by public members and staff. Pursuant to our bylaws, individual members of the public will be allowed 3 minutes to address the board and representatives of a group will be allowed 5 minutes to address the board. And so we'll begin that portion of our meeting.
Renee Carter, Ward 2, representing Race Matters Friends, but I won't need 5 minutes. First of all, I wanted to say that the work session that we all attended, I thought it was fabulous, and it gave us an opportunity to actually get to sit down and just talk and figure things out. And I've read the policy on use of force a number of times, and I've read the section on what de-escalation said, and it wasn't until we were all in the room and someone was like, said, hey, here's what this says, and the police officer said, yes, that's, I mean, my thoughts of what de-escalation were and what theirs were. Theirs was about controlling. Mine is about helping calm the situation and getting people to, volunteer to cooperate. And so I thought it was really good for us to be in the room talking and asking questions and mulling over different viewpoints of what we thought the policy should be like and what it really was and having all that input. Anyway, I thought it was a good session. I felt like everyone came prepared and were invested in making policies better so that the police officers and our community are better served. Secondly, the list that you have about the qualities for police chief are very good. I would recommend that all of you take some time and kind of research all of the applicants. Race Matters Friends, we've been doing that. We've been looking at what the characteristics are for the police officers, and you could maybe make a checklist and go see if it matches. One person's local, two of them was easy to find information on, and then the gentleman from Greeley didn't find a lot on him. But I think you'd be interested to know the background of what the people are like and things that have happened and how they were able to work through those things is very important. Thinking of moving forward of what that person's going to be faced with when they take their office as police chief, because especially if it's someone that's not local, they're going to have very thick skin, not only for the CPRB meeting and the community members, but also police officers, because, you know, when you have change and you bring in someone new, people get really upset because they're frightened and they don't know what kind of change is going to happen. So anyway, I kind of challenge you to do that because I think it would be interesting. It's been interesting to us. Quite pleased with some of the candidates. If you do that, you'll see. So I wanted to thank all of you and do stay on top of changing what de-escalation is defined as, and have a good week. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chris Jones, Second Ward, representing Hold Como Accountable. I would like to reiterate Renee's words. I was also very pleased with the work session that we had last month. It was very good as members of stakeholders groups, both Renee and our members of stakeholders groups, to be able to speak with you on on what the community has told us, what our co-members have told us, things that we have experienced, and to be able to talk that out and the research we've done, because both Renee's and I's group have done a lot of research on this topic, as I am sure that many of you have done. So it was very good to have that discussion. I was also very pleased to hear that the Department of Justice says that other people are also confused about King James language. the meeting that you're going to next week on Thursday evening, or on Thursday all day, I do know that it's been talked about that the downtown CID and the Business Loop CID will also be in on that advisory committee. I don't know how many other people. I did not know that the both of you would be there, for example. So I am very pleased that the both of you will also be there. I think you both have words of wisdom and a different perspective to input in. Last week, somebody had contacted one of the groups. I'm in multiple groups, multiple community groups. And a mother had recently moved to Columbia, and last week her son was the recipient of some racial discrimination by the Columbia Police Department. I don't know all of the details, and even if I did, I would not share them here because that is her tale to tell. That is her son's tale to tell, and it does need to go through the proper channels. However, when trying to walk her through it, it happened in the 6th Ward. You know, it's a more of a white community. It's more of, it's less racial disparity in that community. And the mother had said that she did not know what she needed to do. And granted, she is a newer member of the community. However, there are several members in this chat feature that we're using, not just members who are of this particular group, other people who have also are stakeholders. And she didn't know what to do, and a lot of the people in the public who have been here for over a decade did not know what to do. And so luckily, a couple of us were able to walk her through it and, you know, who to contact. But the point being is that if we've got people who have been here over a decade since before the CPRB was founded and they don't know what to do, that means that we need to do some more outreach, because the little bit I do know, it was a very egregious incident, and I really want her son, as a young adult, as a member of a racial minority, to feel safe in Columbia, to be proud to live in Columbia. I want her to be able to feel safe in Columbia, to not have to worry about her young black son. He needs to feel safe. And so I want more outreach. I want the city, I want the police department, I want each of you to please make sure that the community actually knows. I'm doing my part. Renee is doing her part, but I want for each of you to make for sure that you tell in the next month at least two people, and ask them to tell at least two people what you do, so that more will spread, so that more people will feel safe. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Additional comments by the public? Any comments from staff? Other members?
I had a comment, maybe. I just wanted to thank, I know Rhonda and Cheryl, this is their last meeting, and so appreciate your guidance, because you guys, besides Stephen, I think are the long-term members here. I know Stephen and Stephanie are hopefully going through the process to apply again, because I know we would lose them as well. So thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda.
I would say to the public out there, this group of people here, We have, and we've been in several closed sessions, very diverse, different-minded people that we don't see eye to eye, but we can sit and discuss very respectfully our differences of opinion. And I don't think I could leave a group feeling that it's in better hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel very comfortable, and I won't be disappearing. I'm going to be watching, and
yeah,
I'll be at the meeting looking about what the mm-hmm. police chief situation is, and probably coming to a couple of your meetings, bothering you.
No.
But no, it could not be in better hands. I'm very pleased with the group we've got here.
No.
That's how I feel. I just want to echo what Rhonda said, everything in what she said. I think that the board is definitely up in a great spot, a good spot. It was a hard decision for me to make as to whether or not if I wanted to come back as a liaison, because I felt like that we were just beginning to get the momentum. And as she stated, you know, we don't always agree, you know, and coming with different, you know, perspectives and background experiences and all that. But, you know, we seem to make it work. We're very respectful. We listen to one another. And it's definitely been a pleasure of working with all you guys. But I've got family that's got medical problems, and I'm stretching myself thin in all areas, so I can't give it the full 110,000% that I am used to dedicating in any type of job or volunteering position. So it's kind of a bittersweet moment for me, but you guys are gonna be okay. All right.
I think we ought to let Ron and Cheryl have the last word on that one. anything else we'll say, we're all friends, and it can be said in closed session. And I would entertain a motion to go in the closed session to discuss the records which are protected from disclosure by law, section 610.021, 14, and 590.502. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
This is roll call.
The one time I don't have to. Okay. Well, we will have a roll call.
Yes.
And the Rose will call a roll.
Brandon Barnes?
Aye.
Rhonda Carlson?
Aye.
Stephanie Coleman?
Aye.
Reese Ellis?
Aye.
Douglas Hunt?
Aye.
Stephen Jeffrey?
Aye.
Cheryl Miller?
Aye.
Xavier Scruggs?
Aye.
Jamie Thornsberry?
Aye.
Did I get everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect.
And we are in closed session.